Mike Bubala back with you here, Radio 720 WGN. So as we've been talking about a little bit on and off tonight, NIL, name, image, likeness, is the term for what's going on now in college sports. We spoke with Mark Carmen about it a little bit earlier, but there was an interesting article in the Chicago Tribune about a lawyer named Dustin McGuire who has kind of jumped on this and made sure that as a former athlete himself, he's going to work with athletes and mainly try to protect them more than try to make money off this. Let's find out all about that. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. You're a former college athlete yourself. What'd you play and where'd you play?
I was a college basketball player. I played at St. Louis University for 2 years, and then I played 2 years at Northern Kentucky University.
But you live down in SIU Edwardsville area. Is that where you're from?
Yes, I'm from Edwardsville, Illinois, just outside of St. Louis. We're about 20 miles to the east of St. Louis, Missouri.
Excellent. Well, thanks for jumping on with us up north here. It's been talked about so much. I have a son who goes to Nebraska, so I follow a lot of Nebraska sports stuff. As you can imagine, they're quite a sports-crazy state, being that that's the only semi-professional team that they have in Nebraska. They've got the Creighton basketball team, and they've got Nebraska football, and that's kind of how the state rolls. So there's been a lot of chatter about by the people that write about Nebraska on there. So I've been following this quite a bit. What is your overall take as a former athlete and as a lawyer about the ability for players now to profit from their name, image, and likeness?
It's about time, is what I would say in some. But in all seriousness, it's been a long time coming. I was on the video games, the EA Sports College Basketball video games myself, back in 2007, 2008. And while it was cool being in video games, no one ever asked us for permission to use our identity to create cartoon characters to play video games. And that issue led to a lawsuit by a former UCLA basketball player by the name of Ed O'Bannon. So that O'Bannon lawsuit was kind of really just getting started during my college basketball years, and it ultimately led me to law school and to take an interest in this issue of name, image, likeness.
Is that really kind of why you went to law school? Is your interest that was sparked during that whole series of events with that lawsuit?
Yes, absolutely. I was a junior and had just transferred from St. Louis University. The coach recruited me, got fired, so I found out that way that I didn't have a four-year contract. I had a one-year renewable contract. So I quickly learned about the business that is college sports, playing high-level Division I college basketball. And then when I transferred out to Northern Kentucky, I believe it was my junior year when that lawsuit got started. So I started to take an interest in it. And as I said, it led me to have an interest in the law.
Now, that's really interesting. We normally talk about whether college athletes should get paid because some programs make so much money, right? And that's the debate. We don't have the debate as much about whether they should be able to at least profit in some ways from what they're doing at school. So what is your thought on the idea of just paying athletes in college sports? Do you think that this is enough or that they should even be thinking about that?
Well, to be clear about what name, image, likeness is, it's individual right of publicity. Right, in the ability to be paid by third parties. So to be perfectly clear about this, this is not pay for play. A lot of people get it confused where if you're going to benefit from your NIL, then you're a professional and you're getting paid to play. And that's not the case. Those are two totally separate issues. And I like to identify that they are separate. I'm obviously a big believer in name, image, likeness. I believe that we all should have the ability to use our own identities for whatever purpose we desire. And we all have that right as Americans. All students have that right. All scholarship students have that right. But for the longest time, there's been one class that hasn't had that right, and that's been the student athletes. So just until a couple days ago when the NCAA changed its rules, the student athletes were always the only ones who were told you cannot use your name, image, likeness to profit. Fortunately, that has changed, and we've really got a chaotic situation now where there are about a dozen states that have either passed state laws like Illinois has or executive orders, and then the remaining 35, 40 are just following NCAA rule changes. And each school is directed to come up with its own policy, which is specific to name, image, likeness. It's not pay-for-play. There are specific guidelines from the NCAA that the schools are not to be involved in the payment to the athletes. No employees of the university should be working on behalf of the athletes to seek out deals. And the pay-for-play issue is something totally separate and apart from name, image, likeness, which if you want to discuss it further, we can, but that's, you know, certainly not my area. I think it gets into employment law, and I think that's the big issue there is, you know, to have the student-athletes potentially identified as employees of the university. Again, totally separate topic, which I'm going to leave alone.
Sure, and that's that was actually the part of the lawsuit from the Northwestern players not that long ago, right? There were a couple of years ago where they sued to be considered, employees of the university. But you're right, we'll keep that aside because now that I think about it, it is really two very different things because whether or not an athlete should be paid instead of just a scholarship but actually paid monetarily to play is different because – not only are the athletes not getting to do that, there were some really draconian rules the NCAA had about what a student athlete who was on scholarship could or could not do as far as trying to make money, right?
Absolutely. The athletes have always been told that you get your scholarship, and recently you've gotten the cost of attendance, which came from the O'Bannon lawsuit, but there hasn't been the freedom from the athletes to do the same things that other students do. And in the age of social media, it's become blatantly obvious. During COVID in 2020, we had, quote, influencers getting paid by their universities, you know, to promote social distancing, to wear masks. So there you have these students who are getting paid directly by the university to you know, promote the brand, grow the reach of the university. But, you know, down the campus, you have the athletes who aren't even able to do that with third parties. So I think, you know, one of the good things of 2020 is we've seen just how different the athletes get treated. And, you know, look no further than them physically being on the campuses, right, and the football players practicing, competing in games to fulfill the TV contract. So the student athletes have been treated differently. And for this purpose of name, image, likeness, what's happening is the restrictions are being removed, right? And that is what has happened from the NCAA. It's not an offering of robust rights and opportunities, as I think the term was coined. It's not that at all. It's just removing the restrictions that have only been applicable to the student athletes.
And I just want to get into that for a minute further because you might say, hey, they're getting their scholarship. And like you said, there was some cost of living stuff that was added in the last few years. But if you're just getting, say, a meal plan and housing, kids eat more than what's on their meal plan. Kids spend money. Kids go out on the weekends. And you have this full-time job because you might say, oh, they're playing 12 football games or whatever it is. But it's really, truly a year-round job, isn't it? It's tough for them to manage the school and for the athletes that are seriously taking the school seriously. And I want to think schools have gotten much better about that. If they're taking all these things very seriously, it's a full-time job plus a full-time commitment to school. It's very hard for a student-athlete to have any job to make any extra money outside of it and stay within the legal framework until this passed, correct?
Exactly, Matt. I mean, the demands of being a high-level college athlete are astronomical. And everyone has had a seat at the table. The coaches are making great salaries. The athletic directors have been getting increases in salaries recently, so you know, everyone's done really well from the business of college sports, and finally the athletes are going to have a seat at the table.
So let's talk a little bit more about what that means for our student athletes and what it means for different schools when it comes to recruiting. That's been such a big conversation piece, is what is that going to mean for these student athletes and for the schools as they move forward, and what's going to happen with the whole booster process? We used to hear about boosters all the time. They were giving cash. They were doing this. They were doing that. Now, if a booster wants to put up a billboard promoting something and they hire this guy to do it, is there a danger that we're going to get into these murky areas that are now sort of legal for these athletes to get money? And is that going to hurt or help the recruiting process? What's going to happen with all this? We're speaking with Dustin McGuire of McGuire Law Firm. He also, we're going to ask about this, he has the website, nameimagelikeness.com. If you want to find out more about his law firm and what they're going to try to do to help athletes along, go to nameimagelikeness.com. And how did he have the foresight to take that web name? You've got to imagine he's probably getting some pretty good offers for that right now. We'll talk about this and lots more after we get a check of the News Nation News right now here on 720. WGN. Pat Bubala back with you here, 720 WGN. We're speaking with Dustin McGuire. He's with the McGuire Law Firm down in Edwardsville, Illinois. But he's also the owner of a website called nameimagelikeness.com, which is kind of an offshoot of their law practice, and it's going to help the athletes dealing with this new name, image, likeness. I don't know if it's not a law, but the sanctions, the ability that the NCAA is giving the players to profit from their name, image, and likeness. Dustin, early on when we were talking before the news, you mentioned that the NCAA has these guidelines, and then some states have passed laws. Explain to me what's going on there. I know the NCAA is okay with this. You said each school has to make its own rules. What are the laws that states are passing?
So the states have passed laws, and Illinois has passed its own law. Here it's the Student Athlete Endorsement Rights Act, and that went into effect on July 1. So the guidance from the NCAA is if your state has passed a law, you are to follow the law. If you are an athlete at a state that, or at a school that is in a state that has not passed a law, then you are to just follow the NCAA guidelines as well as the policy from your school. So it's very confusing right now. There are a lot of questions, and I have been getting calls from athletes all over the country wondering what's next, what am I to do, what do I do to capitalize on my name, image, and likeness. And a lot of schools have resources in place. You had asked about recruiting, Matt, and that's, you know, I think necessary to talk about with name, image, likeness, or anything under the umbrella of college sports. The schools have really been using name, image, likeness to compete. And we saw it go as far as to the state legislatures this past spring, where SEC football states got a hold of name, image, likeness. So it was Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, I think Missouri followed suit. So no state was going to give a school in another state a recruiting advantage is what it came down to. And if that tempo of name, image, likeness can, you know, causing competition amongst the school continues, we're going to see some real creative competition, I would say, with what services the athletes are able to get through their universities and, you know, just exactly how much they can capitalize on NIL at certain schools.
Can you give me an example of what the states had to do outside of the schools being able to follow the NCAA guidelines? Did the states have to approve that, or did some states try to do more to give their home state schools a bigger advantage over other schools? What kind of things could they pass in a law that helps with this?
So I believe there are 10 states who have passed state laws, and two states, Kentucky and Ohio, have executive orders where their governors just signed executive orders into law. And each state statute is a little different, as I'm sure you can imagine, and there are different procedures that are explained in the statute. For example, if there's a potential conflicting contract, one of the obvious issues is you have these schools that have Nike, Adidas, or Under Armour contracts for the athletic departments. What happens if an athlete comes in and has their own deal? Right, the schools do not want to see the value of their sponsorships be diminished, and I think name, image, likeness is a potential threat. I'll say when I testified with Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch at a committee hearing for name, image, likeness back in the fall of 2019, we were working on the law in the state of Illinois. There was a letter that was signed by the 11 Division I athletic directors in the state of Illinois warning the state legislators not to do this. Don't pass this law. Please don't pass this because of the negative effect that it will have. And then, you know, just within the past year, we've seen how name, image, likeness is getting supported, and the schools are partnering now with outside companies to come in and help the athletes build their brands. Why? Because it pertains to recruiting, as everything does in college sports. So it's really interesting to me, somebody who's been an advocate for the athletes for so long, to see now how what was, you know, absolute worst-case scenario in athletes getting these rights has now become something that the schools are supporting, or at least, you know, holding out that they support in order to help the athletes grow their brand. So it's really going to be interesting from a legal standpoint, again, to see what these schools without the laws are able to do. Because obviously if you're at a school in a state with a state law, you have to follow the law. Laws trump rules, and that's inherent in the guidelines that we've received from the NCAA. But if you're at a school that is in a state that is not bound by a state statute, my understanding is each school is to come up with their own policy. And I think you could possibly see some of the lower-level Division I schools think about giving more freedom and opportunities to the athletes, if for no other reason to be more attractive for recruits. And a good example of that is the use of the school marks and logos. A lot of the statutes in these states with laws, they preclude that. There is no opportunity to use the marks and logos of the schools.
So, but Dustin, that comes down to sort of like when we see an ad with a baseball or football player, sometimes we see it and they're in their actual uniform and they look like they're actually playing for the Cubs. Sometimes we see it where they're wearing this blank pinstripe jersey and they look, you know, nothing on their hat and stuff like that. So that's the difference between a company that just signed the athlete and the company that signed the athlete but also has some sort of rights deal with Major League Baseball. And that's the sort of thing I guess you're talking about here, right, if the University of Nebraska allows their players to also have the N and everything in their ads, then they're going to look a little more legit, but that could take away some money Nebraska maybe could have earned on their own. So all these schools are going to, I guess what you're saying is like somebody like, say, Alabama, who has a mega million-dollar Nike deal, they wouldn't, or just deals whatever, they might not want their players to be able to profit from those using Alabama and Alabama logos and everything else, because maybe that means less money for the university. And so they're going to basically, everybody's going to have to weigh what is best for the university to keep as much money as possible, but also make sure they're bringing in the athletes that make them the powerhouse program. It's going to be a real balancing act for them, right?
Absolutely. There's some real big decisions being made in athletic departments and specifically in the compliance departments. I think it's certainly a challenging position to hold right now to be a compliance officer in an athletic department. But, you know, can the players use the school marks? That's a big question. And then on the potential conflicting contract, what is conflicting? If you're wearing Adidas gear and you're at a Nike school, but, you know, you're not wearing the Adidas shoes on the court, you're only using Adidas for your own benefit on social media and in your own time, I have a hard time believing that that can be a quote conflicting contract. It's not conflicting with the university's contract because during the institutional activities, during games, practices, travel, et cetera, you're going to be equipped with the school's gear.
You know, I know shoe deals were a big deal for a while. Can a player now sign their own shoe deal and wear their own shoes, or are they still required to wear whatever the school has decided is the uniform, even down to the shoes?
You're required to wear the uniform down to the shoe for any in-game and practices, as well as travel. Institutional activities, I believe, is the term used in the Illinois law.
We're speaking with Dustin McGuire. He's with the McGuire Law Firm, his family law firm down in Edwardsville, Illinois. But he also has the website nameimagelikeness.com. They're helping athletes try to figure out this brave new world. We'll talk next about that website. How did he get it? What does this mean for recruiting for conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC, especially when it comes to football, since that's the biggest of the money sports? And what is the concern about corruption within this? We'll talk about that next here on 720 WGN. Happy to bother with you here, 720 WGN. We've got a little more time with Dustin McGuire of the McGuire Law Firm. Also, nameimagelikeness.com. Dustin, how did you get, I would imagine that website is worth a lot of money right now. Have you been getting some offers from people that want to buy your URL?
No, I haven't. Honestly, I'm only focused on using the site for getting clients for providing the legal and compliance services that my firm is offering. So I was able to get it just by registering the domain a few years ago. Back in fall of 2018, I believe I started to hear about the state of California working on a name, image, likeness law. And I had, I'd heard that term from the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. I believe that's where it originated from. And I started seeing it, you know, with an abbreviation of NIL. So I thought, you know, if it's that important to put NIL after it, it's probably something that's going to be around for a while. So, I did reserve the domain again, nameimagelikeness.com is my site. And you know, I'm thrilled to see this finally come to fruition. There's been a lot of legwork, a lot of time and cost, you know, that's been invested into being here today. So yeah. I'm excited to finally be able to add these services to my firm's offering.
It's like you bought a lottery ticket 13 years ago and you're finally starting to see it start paying off. So that's great. So tell me a little bit about what you foresee when it comes to like the Big Ten. So I've talked a lot about Nebraska because my son goes there, but we are the Northwestern Wildcat Station. Go Cats. And they are huge market teams. You might think, man, these kids coming to Northwestern, that big market and all those people, there's going to be dollars thrown at them like crazy. But then you stop and you think, however, there's also Cubs, Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, Fire. There's all these other professional athletes in the area who have big TV contracts, things like that. So when it comes to Nebraska, where there's almost nothing else, a lot fewer people, but insane football crazy area where there's no other competition, where do you think, how is that all going to fall out? Who's going to really benefit as a school recruiting-wise from this law?
Well, I definitely think that the schools in states that don't have a whole lot of competition, as you mentioned, Nebraska, Nebraska football, Creighton basketball, I mean, that's all there is out there. So I believe a lot of the name, image, likeness deals, especially early on in 2021, 2022, will be micro deals, not macro. So there'll be local small businesses in the community, businesses that have been traditionally doing business and being around the athletic department, I think, are the likely candidates for who's going to be looking to align themselves with the athletes. So, you know, who is best positioned? It's hard to rule out the, you know, big market schools also, because as we saw with Loyola Chicago a couple of years ago when they made the Final Four run, I mean, you really have the opportunity to catch the attention of you know, the city and the entire nation, with, you know, being in a big market area such as Chicago. So it's really hard to say one way or the other definitively. I think we're all sort of speculating with this, and time will tell is the answer there.
And I wonder what all this is going to bring, because, you know, so these athletes now, they're going to pose a local car dealer. They're going to go for a pizza on Tuesday nights and talk to the crowd. They're going to do all the little things at first, like you said. But how big is this going to get with those players that get so famous by the end of football season or basketball season through the tournament? Are they going to be doing reality shows together? Is there going to be a Big Brother NCAA tournament edition or bracket challenge or different things like that? How big do you see this getting with these athletes?
Well, I think that the greatest opportunity for athletes to capitalize on their individual celebrity is the use of their social media. And there are companies, Open Doors and Influencer are the two that come to mind, that are working with the athletes to help them monetize the social media following that they've got. And a lot of these athletes have not thousands, but hundreds of thousands of followers on social media. So there's incredible value there. And I don't think we live in the world anymore where there's going to be the reality show. I think the followers and the engagements that the athletes get on social media are proven to be mm-hmm. as high as celebrities. And I think the real opportunity to cash in on an individual basis until we start seeing group licensing deals, which we can talk more about, I think the real opportunity is with the social media use at this time.
So social media use, because you have a lot of followers, suddenly you can, you know, parlay that into recommending a brand or a restaurant or whatever it is. We used to talk, I mentioned earlier in this interview, about boosters. Like a booster was caught giving cash. They gave him a car. They gave the family tickets to travel down to whatever it is. Do you worry that, like, there's going to be some undue influence? There will be ways that boosters are just finding ways to promise kids they'll get paid to do certain things. You could certainly see where that could become part of this, because now it's sort of legal. If some booster would have normally been slipping somebody 30 grand on the side, instead they could say, we're hiring him to do the ribbon cutting at our new restaurant for, you know, 30 grand. Is that the type of thing that's going to happen here?
Well, Illinois law says that any NIL deal has to be commensurate with the fair market value. And I want to say Florida and a number of other states have that same fair market value requirement for any NIL transaction. And it's certainly the intention of the laws that there be some use of the athlete's name, image, and likeness. So you don't just get to hand the envelope of cash. That's not what's intended with name, image, likeness. There needs to be some legitimate use, some transaction for the athlete's name, image, likeness being involved. And again, that transaction would have to be commensurate with the fair market value. Now, when we don't have a history, we don't have anything to point to for the value of college athletes' name, image, likeness, it's going to be hard to say that any deal is outside of market value. I just saw, Matt, before our call, Master P Son signed a $2 million endorsement deal while he's going to be a freshman at Tennessee State University. So $2 million. How is that going to affect the way this was perceived? I think that's really an outlier deal, but I think that there's also an argument to make that because of his family's name, because of his dad, because of the brand that he's bringing, that is the market value for his name, image, likeness. So a $2 million deal, that might be a record at this time, and we're 2 days in.
That really is something. And it's going to be interesting. You said some states have these laws, some don't. I wonder if some states won't pass the law because that's going to hold them back on recruiting when they could offer possibly more money.
That's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point, and really something that's flipped this whole concept on its head. All these states and state legislatures who have been advocating for the athletes, myself being one of those advocates, for those states that took the initiative and passed a state law, there is a real question right now as to whether or not they've in fact limited their athletes. Although you put the pressure on the NCAA to change rules, Florida being the state who did that the most, they were the first to put the July 1 date into effect, and California passed its law first back in 2019, but it was a January 1 of 2023 start date. So basically it was just drawing the line in the sand for the NCAA, but Florida passed July 1 of 21, and a number of the other SEC state schools or school states did the same thing. So here we are now, and we've got real chaos with some states having laws, some not. And yeah, as you point out, if you're in a state that does not have a law and you're merely following the guidance from the NCAA and whatever policy the school is putting in place, you could potentially have more freedom, and that could possibly include the use of the school's marks, as we've talked about.
We'll revisit this from time to time. It's going to be a very interesting year in college athletics. Dustin McGuire is with the McGuire Law Firm in Edwardsville, Illinois. NameImageLikeness.com is the website where there's more information. And if you're a college athlete who needs some help, give him a call. Dustin, we appreciate you so much coming on the air.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt. I appreciate it.
It really is. It's going to be a fascinating year in college athletics. We'll see where it leads. I know it's leading me right out the door. Hey, everybody, I'm back Monday morning. I'm filling in for Mr. Surratt during your Monday, July 5th holiday, so you can still get up early with us. We'll be on from 5 to 9 a.m. Meanwhile, you have a great weekend. Enjoy your 4th, everybody. Matt Bubala here, 720 WGN. Let's get you into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.